17 seconds and counting. Guidance internal. 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9. We have ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are willing to control, and one we intend to win.
Okay, engine stop. ATA at a descent. Flight control, both auto descent and command override on. And then I'm on. 413 is in.
We stop to get down, Eagle.
Houston, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
NASA's Atmosphere and Volatile Evolution mission, known as MAVEN, was launched in November of 2013. After more than a 10-month journey, the MAVEN spacecraft is now in orbit around the planet Mars. Here with us today on Cosmic Perspective to talk about this very exciting mission is Chief Scientist at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, Dr. James Garvin. Dr. Garvin, congratulations to you and everyone involved in the MAVEN spacecraft mission, and thanks for being with us today.
It's my pleasure, Andy, and welcome to Mars.
Yes, that's wonderful. The MAVEN spacecraft traveled more than 10 months to get to Mars. Why did it take such a long period of time, and, or should I say, why did it take such a short period of time for the spacecraft to get there?
Well, Andy, Mars is really, quite frankly, a very long way away. And to us people here on Earth, distances are measured in miles and how long it takes to drive from city to city. But in space, distances are much longer. We think of things in terms of the speed of light, which is extremely high. In any event, Mars right now is more than 100 million miles from Earth. And so to get to Mars with the least amount of energy for the lowest cost and risk, what we do is we use the magic of physics. And we basically throw a long Hail Mary pass of sorts with our rocket and get to Mars with the least kick away from Earth to arrive in just the right place where Mars will be in a future time. So when we launched last fall, we did that. We arrived at the right place where Mars was, and then we slow ourselves down with a rocket engine and more 30 minutes of firing to put us into our orbit to be captured by Mars. So it's a cosmic billiard ball kind of game, which we do to be smart and to do it with the least cost in resources and fuel.
And how long does it take for the signal to get to, from the Earth to communicate with the spacecraft? That's quite a distance.
Right. Well, during the course of the mission, the amount of time it will take for signals from Earth here at home to Mars will vary between about 8 or 9 minutes to more than 20. So if you were calling your mom at home, you either have an 8-minute wait or up to 20. And right now it's in the 10 to 12-minute range. But as Mars moves further around the solar system and the Earth and Mars go through a dance, that distance will increase. And during the course of the mission, it will also decrease. So MAVEN has a big job to do during the course of an entire Mars year to understand the red planet.
On November 21st, the MAVEN spacecraft went into a preliminary orbit around Mars by firing its engines, as you had mentioned previously. Was this maneuver performed by the science team, or was it done autonomously by the spacecraft?
Well, Andy, because of the light travel time, all of the big sequences, the things that make a spacecraft do what it must do, are pre-programmed. And so when the spacecraft clock says, I'm in the right place, and other little commands from Earth have checked that out, we know where we are with very precise navigation, extremely precise. And that navigation is done here and at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. We then issue the command to go ahead and fire the rocket. And that starts a sequence, and kind of like starting a sequence in your washer and dryer at home. You say, push the button and let's go through the spin-dry cycle. Well, we have the fire the rocket cycle for long enough to make sure we are captured by Mars into the orbit we're in now, which is a little tear more than 35 hours.
Sending a signal to the spacecraft over that long distance would take too long for the spacecraft to make a change, so I guess Maven would have to operate autonomously.
Exactly, yeah, and that's how we drive our rovers on Mars now. They execute sequences. They're like you would in an app on your cell phone, based on what you tell them to do at a given time, and then they call home. And so Maven will do that over the course of its life, and it's been operating absolutely flawlessly. We check these things, and we've been doing so for the last 10 months. So the science team, led by Bruce Jacowski at the University of Colorado, they're in charge, and it's great to have science in charge, but the engineers who run the spacecraft do that for the science team so we can, and Bruce and his team, can all do the science of Mars from Maven.
The Maven spacecraft is in a preliminary orbit at this time. Would you please explain to our listeners how the spacecraft will eventually get into a science orbit?
Okay, well, Andy, good question, and very relevant. I might say we're in a very long cigar-shaped orbit where it takes 35 hours to go around Mars in one complete loop, the shape of an ellipse. But anyway, that orbit, 35 hours is very long. We want to be lower and closer to Mars eventually in about a 4.5-hour orbit. And that's long enough to dip low really close to Mars within about 100 miles and go out far enough to see the whole planet and come back in again. And by doing that, we'll be able to observe the things we're trying to measure about Mars and how it interacts with space weather and things. However, we do that through a sequence of small, very carefully controlled rocket burns, little firings of our engines for shorter periods of time than the big one we just did Sunday night, that will trim us down to the right orbit. And that's the way we do it. We want to do it carefully and sequentially. And meanwhile, we've just started operating instruments already for science. So we get the benefit of lots of different vantage points on Mars for our science while we get into our final science orbit.
What are the main objectives of the Maven mission?
Well, Maven is a very interesting kind of mission. It's different than many of our recent Mars missions. I mean, since the late 90s, we've been sending orbiters and rovers and things to the surface who make measurements and take a lot of pictures. Maven is all about seeing the unseen side of how Mars works, less with pictures, but more with very sensitive instruments that can sense chemistry and lots of what we call dynamic action as the particles from the sun in deep space hit the fragile, small Mars atmosphere. They cause reactions, high-energy, exciting reactions, the kind that happen in our atmosphere, here on Earth and in the atmosphere of Venus and Jupiter. We don't know what they're like on Mars, and yet they're critical because those activities, those reactions, tell us how the Mars atmosphere is doing. They're kind of a health check on it. Is it being lost to space? And we know it is, but how fast? How long? How does the atmosphere of today of Mars, which is the place in which, if there ever were life, it must have been, if it were there, how did it get to where it is today from what it might have started like? And we need to know that, and we can do so with the Maven instruments that basically interrogate its chemistry, how its chemistry changes as we change our position in it, and how chemical reactions occur through the high energy of space that will tell us, literally, things about today that will allow us to predict what happened in the past.
The Mars Exploration Rovers and Mars Curiosity Rover have found evidence of salt and fresh water on Mars. Is one of Maven's goals to find out why Mars went from a wet place to a dry one?
Well, that's right, Andy. Right now, Mars is a water planet, but the signs of water are hidden, frozen in the soil, in the polar ice caps, in water vapor in the atmosphere, and in minerals and rocks. But the past Mars that you mentioned, 3 to 4 billion years ago, may have been a warmer, wetter, well, we believe it was definitely wetter place, episodically very wet, as Mars' climate was more suitable. Its atmosphere was thicker, higher density. And so how did it go from that warm, wet, fuzzy Mars that would have been a really good place for the kind of stuff that we know happened on early Earth? How did it go from that state to this extremely dry, cold polar desert where the water's hidden? And we can do that through measurements by Curiosity, which we're doing. In fact, there's a mass spectrometer on Curiosity that was developed right here that makes those measurements on samples that we collect inside the rover. But we can also do so by looking at what's happening in the upper part of the atmosphere with a similar kind of instrument, a mass spectrometer that measures the weight of little tiny bits of stuff, chemicals, elements, and isotopes of them. And we do that both from above and from below, and connect them in time. And so we think Mars, the many different ways in which Mars may have lost that fuzzy, warm, wet state, and we don't know which one, but MAVEN can help us narrow the possibilities and perhaps tell us what was the course of Mars evolution.
And MAVEN also has a suite of instruments, correct, on board. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the other instruments and what kind of work they'll be doing?
Well, MAVEN has a package of instruments that we call a particles and fields measurement system, developed at the University of California, Berkeley, and the University of Colorado. And that system of experiments analyze the kinds of high-energy particles and stuff that's out there in space that our eyes don't see, but that's very important fabric of space, deep space, and it hits. Those same particles hit the International Space Station and shuttles and things in Earth orbit that we use for DirecTV. But they're different at Earth, and especially as the Earth's atmosphere modifies them in our magnetic field, than at Mars, which lost its magnetic field. So what we'll be doing is measuring all of those really exciting, very high-energy interactions with a suite of instruments that will measure the energy spectrum, how frequently they are, where they're coming from. Lots of stuff like that. It's kind of the detective work on the hidden side of Mars, as well as measuring the magnetic field, which has a ghost-like signature of what it once was left there. Well, that's an instrument developed here. We'll put all that into context to know the Mars of today and what it's like. So when we make the measurements with the net mass spectrometer and with an instrument called an imaging ultraviolet spectrometer, which measure chemistry of molecules and stuff, we can put those measurements in context of the Mars of today. And that's very important. That will calibrate how we see Mars the same way we do today for Earth, for example.
So studying the atmosphere of Mars will kind of unlock some of these puzzles or mysteries of where the water went and the atmosphere went.
Well, exactly, Andy. And we're really trying to play a tape backwards without really having the full tape. So we look at today, which we have not completely measured. We look at it for the whole planet, not just for one spot in Gale Crater with our brilliant rover Curiosity, but we look at the whole planet, the way the entire planet's upper atmosphere interacts with this deep space, this maelstrom of stuff out there that, you know, you don't want to go there without protection. Well, we're going to go measure it. MAVEN will do that for us. And that will also open our eyes to what's happening to the Mars atmosphere today, how long that's been happening, and then we'll work the clock backwards based on the chemistry we measure and the chemistry we've already measured from Curiosity and other rovers, even way back to Viking in the 70s, and see how we connect those dots. What explanation, again, it's a forensic science question, is the best one? Was the atmosphere blown off by space particles? Was it blown off by giant impacts, volcanoes? What happened to erode the Mars of yesterday to give us the Mars of today? That's an important question.
I'd like to talk about something that probably wasn't thought of when the original mission MAVEN was in concept, but on October 19th, comet sighting Springs will have a close encounter with Mars, I believe about one-third the distance between the Earth and our moon. Have changes been made to adjust the orbit of MAVEN with this close encounter, and are there any plans to study the comet?
Well, firstly, this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience where a comet, a streaming ball of rock and dust and ice, will be coming into the inner solar system and passing within 80-some thousand kilometers of Mars, as you said, a third of the distance between the Earth and the Moon, right in the path where MAVEN can look at that comet and its big tail. I mean, it has a nucleus and a tail of particles, up close, you know, as if we're there. It's almost like a comet mission for free while we're at Mars, to see what the comet does as it interacts with Mars' upper atmosphere, which is exactly what MAVEN's measuring with its suite of eight instruments, and do so, you know, with a just literally an absolutely wonderful one might say, serendipitous occurrence. And so the MAVEN orbit will not be adjusted, but our eyes are wide open to what might happen with the dust and gas that's shed from the comet nucleus as it flies by Mars on its way to the inner solar system. And we expect to learn a lot. And the team has been in preparation for this kind of originally, I should say, not foreseen event. There's a lot of confidence that we'll be able to make extremely exciting measurements that will not impact the overall science mission of studying a year in the life of Mars. We'll be looking at the comet from the surface of Mars with the big cameras on Curiosity, the rover, possibly the cameras on Opportunity as well, which is on the other side of Mars. And we have a big orbiter in Mars orbit separate from MAVEN called the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. It's been there since March 2006.
Yes.
It's the big eye in the sky, and that will be looking for these interactions. So we have an armada of spacecraft together with our friends in Europe and now soon India to study this once-in-a-lifetime event.
It's like a cherry on the top of a sundae.
Indeed. And, you know, comets are very important building blocks of the solar system, and we don't know that much about them. And we visited them a couple of times with spacecraft, but and right now the European Space Agency is visiting the nucleus of a comet with its mission Rosetta. So this is all wonderful science right at the frontier.
The Mars Opportunity rover has been performing science on the surface of Mars for more than 10 years. And, of course, after 2 years, the Mars Science Laboratory rover is now beginning its climb of a 6-kilometer mountain. Will the MAVEN spacecraft be able to communicate with the Mars rovers?
Well, that's right, Andy. A very good point. MAVEN carries with its payload, its science payload, which we're also bristling with excitement over, our PI, Bruce Tarkowski especially. It carries a special kind of radio relay system known as Electra, provided by NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Electra is a UHF radio relay system that allows rovers on the surface of Mars, Opportunity and Curiosity right now, eventually potentially the InSight lander that we're going to launch to Mars in 2016, in the fall of 2016. Anyway, those vehicles will be able to communicate from the surface of Mars up to MAVEN to this special radio communication system and collect that data and then use MAVEN to send it back to Earth. And that radio relay system, that telecommunications network, is critical to getting lots of data back to Mars. So all of our orbiters, the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, the Mars Odyssey Orbiter, and now MAVEN, carry with it this critical piece of payload. This is, Andy, a consequence of having a Mars exploration program. So we work together as a team with the little piece parts, the rovers, the orbiters, the landers, toward a greater goal of understanding Mars as a system, the way we understand our Earth. So that's what MAVEN will do.
Dr. Garvin, how long is MAVEN's primary mission, and is there an extended mission planned?
So MAVEN's primary mission, Andy, is 687 Earth days. That's 1 year in the life of Mars, one full cycle around the sun. That's what we need to capture the science. This mission was a competitively selected mission. So we kind of do the Science Engineering Olympics every few years, and may the best woman or man win. And Bruce Tarkowski and his team from Lockheed Martin, Goddard Space Flight Center, California, Berkeley, other places, won the competition back in 2007 to fly this exciting mission. So it's a real tribute to them. Coming back to your question, the mission is 687 days. That's all four seasons, all the way around the sun. At the end of that, there will be a competitive review by senior subject matter experts, smart women and men who know about Mars and spacecraft, to evaluate extended mission possibilities. These spacecraft are built incredibly well. The team who built this spacecraft in Denver, Lockheed Martin, have an incredible track record of success on building Mars orbiters that have outlasted anyone's expectation, you know, beyond belief. MRO's been there since 06, Odyssey since 2001, still going wonderfully. However, we need to be attendant to the costs of operating things in space, even as valuable as MAVEN. So there'll be a review, a formal competitive review that will make the assessment for NASA. And that's the way NASA does things. It's always, you know, an open, transparent process of review to see whether we can afford to continue these brilliant missions. And we usually find a way, but it does depend on the success of those reviews.
I guess it would be wonderful if MAVEN could actually be in an operation for an entire solar cycle, since you're studying the solar cycle, of course, and its effect of the sun on the atmosphere of Mars. That would be a pretty cool thing.
Oh, it would, Andy. And in fact, you know, the dream would be, but of course, expecting a mission to last 11 plus years versus 2 years is a big demand on the engineering. And just like when we buy a car, we don't expect it to last a million miles. We have to come up with a judgment, and the engineers know better than certainly I do on what to expect. And so designing it for a Mars year is a good start to get an incredible amount of science. If it can be extended cost effectively, believe you me, the engineers and scientists, you know, will make the case to do so. And that would be a great thing. Getting that full solar cycle, as you said, with this payload would be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of the future missions to Mars?
Well, sure, Andy. As we sit here with MAVEN in orbit, literally, you know, bristling with the science to come, we're planning a mission, developing it now at the Jet Propulsion Lab and Lockheed Martin in Denver, called InSight, that will land on Mars in 2017, launching in 2016, and it will basically collect the pulse of the Mars interior. How does Mars work? What is the seismic signature of this planet? How does the heat move through the rocks from deep within Mars to the crust? These parameters define how a planet's crust works. We learned about those for Earth over the last 100 or 200 years. It tells us about how earthquakes propagate, how the crust cracks. We've never made those measurements for Mars. InSight, another competitively selected mission, will go and do that in a partnership with NASA and scientists in Europe who are building some of the key instruments. So that's our next mission. That's a lander. It will be fixed in one place, but listen really hard with elegant sensors for more than a year at all that stuff. It's a geophysics mission, as we say. After that, of course, we're all very excited about NASA has a major contribution on the European Space Agency's drilling rover, known as ExoMars. That mission is to launch in the fall of 2018, which is a really good time to launch to Mars. Every 14 years, you get a little more mass to Mars because of the cycle of Mars and Earth dancing around the sun. That mission will go to the Mars surface with a solar rover with a big 6-foot-deep drilling system developed in Europe, but carrying an instrument developed here in the United States, actually right here at Goddard Space Flight Center, in partnership with Germany. That instrument can measure organic molecules from beneath the surface of Mars in the most exquisite way ever imagined by woman or man. We would hope to do that on samples collected so deep under the soil and rocks of Mars that they would have been shielded for a long period of time from nasty stuff in space, perhaps collecting a record of things in water that formed a long time ago. And then right after that, Andy, for all of us, and we're extremely excited, we have another roving mobile laboratory known as the Mars 2020 rover that will not only interrogate rocks and soils like in some ways like the Curiosity system, but it will also collect them and encapsulate them in a kind of a special lockbox that we call a cache. A cache is a protected storage medium for rock soils that would be protected so that later, you know, within the next 10 or 15 years, they could be retrieved and recovered and returned to Earth to laboratories for the kind of studies we know we need to do on Mars rocks because we've done them on Mars meteorites and we know what we can learn if we have those samples back here on Earth. So that's the near-term future of Mars, missions by the United States. And I almost forgot, our friends in the great nation of India will be arriving at Mars later today with a mission known as MOM. How can Mom ever do badly? A Mars orbiting mission. And it will be India's first mission to the Red Planet and carry with it an exciting experiment that will complement those we've made that looks at different aspects of Mars. That's Mars in a nutshell before the era of the 2030s when it would be really wonderful if the great people of this planet could send ourselves to Mars, which is a dream we all have.
Well, it appears that all these missions are all stepping stones to eventually having a human mission to the Red Planet. That would be wonderful.
Well, Andy, that's the thought. You know, we're opening our robotic eyes vicariously on the Mars we're now learning about. It's a tricky, beguiling, but wonderful place and a great record of a wonderful past that we want to look at so that someday we'll be safe enough and cost-effective enough to send women and men, human beings to Mars. We all are optimistic that can be done here at NASA and across industry, but you know, it's a big step to go that far. I mean, it's thousands of times further than it was when we first sent people from the Earth's surface to the Earth's moon. And that kind of stepping stone in, you know, an exploration is something that humanity is, you know, has not taken on before. So it's a huge step, but we're optimistic that'll be our, you know, our first foray to a nearby planet. That'd be incredible.
Yes, it would be. Dr. Garvin, thanks so much for taking your time from your busy schedule to be with us today. We wish everyone involved on the NASA MAVEN mission continued success. And thank you so much for being with us today. I and my listeners very much appreciate it.
No, we're grateful to have the opportunity, and thanks for your interest. And MAVEN is, you know, it's a people's mission to Mars, and so please follow the mission as it makes its exquisite measurements, and there's lots of educational opportunities for all the young people out there interested in Mars through MAVEN, through Curiosity, through all of our Mars missions. And thanks again, Andy, for having me.
Thank you. Yeah, I guess I should mention that there are a couple of websites. The most popular one for all the Mars missions would be mars.jpl.nasa.gov, I believe.
That's
that
correct.
Would bring to all the Mars missions. And the one for MAVEN is...
The easiest way to get there is www.nasa.gov/MAVEN. And that will point to a set of links to all the sites relevant to MAVEN, including the mars.jpl.nasa.gov, which is our primary entry point for all the Mars missions, and then the specific site at the Laboratory of Space Physics, Atmosphere and Space Physics at the University of Colorado, where the principal investigator for MAVEN is resident. That's Dr. Bruce Tchaikovsky. He's a fabulous and literally incredible individual and scientist, and it's great we have him leading this mission, believe you me. He's like our superstar quarterback for this kind of stuff, so great to have him. And just follow those links, and you can find out lots more about MAVEN.
Thanks so much again for being with us.
Sure.
Have a great day. Thank you. Cosmic Perspective is an Andy Panero's production.